before we started, I saw like a video of, you know, those like powerful websites you should know.
Yeah.
You know, and there's one, it's for openlibrary.org. Mm-hmm. And there's like a bunch of like free books on there. Cool. It's like attached to like archive.org or whatever, or the Internet Archive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Internet Archive is great.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, maybe they got comics on here. And I like looked up Batman and there's like a bunch of shit and they have audiobooks for the comics.
Did you listen to one?
No, I didn't have like a wow. archive email.
That sounds terrible.
No, that could be cool though.
I don't think so.
What if there's like a cast, you know?
I don't know. Do you ever try listening to those like DC podcast originals?
Oh no.
There's like the scripted Riddler ones. Yeah, there's like scripted ones. Try listening to it. I'm like, this is just not for me.
Yeah. No. But like maybe it's like one of those like, well, not everyone had an audiobook, so it's not like an automated like Siri voice or whatever, you know.
Right.
So it's got to be someone narrating.
Somebody voiced like Batman.
I guess so.
Yeah, you have to check it out.
I will. I'll let you know. But like, think about it. Like,
we should do.
You know how there's like some long ones. Like they had like Nightfall. You know,
and damn,
that bitch is long.
Okay, that's a good audiobook podcast.
Because then you can like,
because that's like 100 issues.
Yeah. Then like, you know, if you're like slowing down on momentum, they're still going. So you just gotta flip the page and look at the pictures. Basically.
Dude, you're getting a storybook read to you. Like you're in kindergarten.
Hell yeah. Dude. Before you can read. I was just a little excited about that because I think that's so cool.
Is Watchmen on there?
Dude, I didn't look.
That'd be if I was ever
I was looking to, at other Alan Moore stuff actually.
If I was to ever consume anything Alan Moore again, I think it would probably have to be that way.
Well, there's like the animated movie. That might be cool.
Well, yeah. But I'm saying, like, if I'm reading anything Alan Moore, someone would have to read it to me, I think. Because I don't have the attention span for it anymore.
Yeah, you think you'd get better as you read more, you know?
Yeah, you think so.
Maybe if you become...
I'm not, like, getting smarter, you know?
I feel like I have a better tolerance for, like, old stuff, though.
I think I definitely do.
Like, imagine trying to read something from, like, the 80s, but, like, when you first started.
Yeah, when you first started, it's rough. But now we kind of have like the context of like, oh man, John Byrne was the fucking goat, you know,
yeah,
or something like that. Or
yeah, this is Jack Kirby we're talking about, you know.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So
anyway,
we should do an episode where we both do an audiobook.
Or like, oh, we just like
we
consume it that way.
Yeah, we've only consumed it with the audiobook.
We had a great reader today. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Winners Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Hello.
We read war comics.
Yes, we do. Like, we stand on business.
Yeah. We got different time codes in the description. We got the book, which is We Stand on Guard. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. Nay, the new Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips book.
Oh, really?
Coming this September.
Dang. They're cooking again?
And it's another criminal arc.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's going to be called The Knives. It's cool. Not just a reprint. It's like a new book.
Nice. That's pretty cool. Yeah, they have their show coming out soon. It makes sense for them to go back.
Yeah, and they're like reprinting all the trades.
That's cool. That's cool.
With like new covers. They look really sick.
Yeah. When does that show come out? It's this
sometime
year.
Sometime this year, I think.
Okay.
Maybe.
Cool. That'll be sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. So every like criminal trade, you can just pick up, right? That's how it's supposed to work?
I think so. But I think like after a while, they start to get
connected. Mm. Cool. Good for them.
Yeah. I've just read like Lawless, which is like the first one.
I think I started reading it and then I was like, I don't know what's going on here. I think I was scared of it, and then I left.
Yeah, no one in spandex.
Yeah, no one punching anybody really.
Yeah, no.
It's just a lot of dark rooms.
No laser guns or nothing. Yeah,
no laser guns. No capes.
Just people. Donnie Cates, he's coming back, Nathan.
Yeah, he's coming back
this summer.
Good for him.
Well, this summer there's gonna be announcements.
Yeah,
but he told us now that he's coming back. That's good.
He didn't
good.
Say where, you know, if, whether it was Big Two or not. I don't
or
think
or what
or if it even was Big Two.
I think it's gonna be a.
But he did
like
say,
a,
like,
kids love change things.
That's probably what it was because he had a hashtag for that.
Yeah.
In that post.
But I think that's kind of just like his production company kind of thing.
It so is. Yeah.
So it's like Tinian saying like hashtag Tiny Onion or something.
Right.
For his, even if he's doing like a Batman book.
He did say like if someone can guess what it is, I'll give you the first issue free or something like that. Which makes me think it's probably Big Two. but maybe. I don't know. He could just be going back to Vanish.
Yeah, but without Steggy?
Yeah, without Steggy, that'd be tough.
I'm sure it'd be fine, but like, that's like, like Sigmund's got like that's ownership like
their,
of that.
Yeah, it's a collaboration of that.
Duh. We'll see.
Yeah. Daniel Marvel unveils Predator Black, White, and Blood for May 2025.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing that for
May 21st.
Stuff outside of Marvel Comics, which is kind of cool.
All throughout the times. The anthology
for any property that they have, they're just going to do it. Apparently, those titles must be popular, right? Because they've made like a lot of them.
Yeah, there's like Alien, there's Turtles, there's Deadpool.
Yeah.
There's Harley Quinn, I think. And so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, that must be, yeah, there's like a Wonder Woman one. It was like black, white, and gold. And then there's like a Superman one.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
so I don't know. I've read a couple of them and they're fun. They're like fun little.
If you like a one shot or like a, are they like 8-pagers?
They're like anthologies.
Okay.
That are like 8, yeah.
We probably wouldn't review it on here, but the idea is cool.
Yeah. Probably just cool to have different creative talents go in and just do whatever they want with Predator for a bit.
You know? Yeah.
There was an announcement for Spider-Man and Wolverine number one, also coming in May, which is going to be from Mark Guggenheim and Cary Andrews, which I'm really excited about.
Hmm.
Because that guy is crazy. I don't know if you've seen him do stuff.
Guggenheim?
No. Cary Andrews.
Oh.
The artist.
Maybe. It sounds familiar.
You know the Spider-Man comic where he kills Mary Jane by like coming in her with like radioactive spider cum?
Spider's Reign or whatever?
Yeah, Spider's Reign. That was him. He did the sequel as well. He came back for it. And I read it and I was like, I'm like weirded out by this. But he also,
Dark Reign?
Dark Reign. I think that's the one.
Yeah.
But he also did this like random Avengers versus X-Men thing that's always like stuck in my mind. And I was like, this is the craziest shit I've ever seen. So I like his art style. And it looks like he's going to have a lot of fun with this. So I'm excited.
Did you see that David Marquez is coming to Comic-Con? The Phoenix one?
Ours?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I got a lot of his stuff.
I have like two things.
I have his Defenders. His first Justice League, I think. Was he on that for a bit?
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm. I probably have other things.
I guess
that's
he did.
Cool. He's good.
He did Civil War 2.
That's right.
Yeah.
I should get that signed. No, I sold him, I think.
You sold Civil War 2?
I think so. I didn't want to look at him.
Sucker. There's another thing.
Well, there's that Batman Killing Time that he did.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one I had.
That's the one you're thinking of.
Yeah. I was like, gonna go look at it. Yeah. No, he's super good.
He's on X-Men right now. He's great. Yeah.
Is he? Oh, okay.
Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah. Nathan, you like Umbrella Academy?
Yeah. The show?
The comic.
Comics is great.
I guess the property?
The property. Big fan of the property.
Well, the comic, it's coming back. Umbrella Academy Plan B is coming this June 11th.
Does it have Gabriel Ba?
It's got the whole team.
Cool.
Same old song and dance. They're coming back.
All right. That's cool.
Yeah, that's neat.
I probably won't check it out because I haven't read the full. How much is the full original run? Or how long is
that? Not long. There's like 3 trades.
Okay, cool. That makes sense.
And then the first one, you just fly by because it's the only one we read.
Yeah, true.
I think I have them. And then he did, then he had like a sequel or prequel one.
That's right.
It's called You Look Like Death. And then this would be like the new installment.
Cool.
So, yeah, I think Gerard Way should probably be making Umbrella Academy stuff like until he dies, I think. I don't think he should just like stop.
Why? I mean,
why would he?
Yeah, I guess. But like he did the full story and then he did the full show. So, like, he could just do whatever he wants, I guess.
But he's still making more comics, so there could be more show, you know?
There could be more show. That's true.
But it was canceled. Or maybe they just ended it. And
I think they just
called
ended
it canceled.
It?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's cool. Gwenpool's coming back. You excited?
Really digging the bottom of the barrel for Gwenpool?
No, it came up on my feet a lot. And I was like, fine, I'll fucking talk about it. But, yeah.
Was she dead?
She was dead. Well, normal Gwen's dead. I think Gwenpool initially was from a different universe, but I don't know. I don't know really Gwenpool lore, but we should get into it. we should read it.
I'm open to mostly everything.
Yeah.
And you remember, what was that?
Do you remember?
Nah, you don't remember actually. You remember that dude? It's like Joe Hill or something.
Yeah.
He has like
the horror line.
The horror line.
Yeah.
Wasn't one of them Basketful of Heads?
Yeah. Good
great,
name.
Great name.
Great name, bad series.
Well, it's getting a movie.
It's fine.
Did you finish it?
No, I read two issues and I was like, this sucks.
What if it gets better at the end?
It could get better at the end, but it sucked for two issues.
But Natasha Lyonne is going to be in it?
Who's that?
Did you ever watch like Russian Dolls?
No.
Or American Pie?
I've seen that movie.
She's like the redheaded friend that had like the scratchy voice.
I don't know. Do we like her?
I like her. I think she's getting stuff. She was in Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, I never watched that show. I've seen her in things, I think.
Really?
Probably.
I've like listened to her on like podcasts and stuff.
You do?
I'm not like a super fan, but
she's on. Oh, she's the one in Poker Face.
Poker Face, yeah, that too.
I haven't seen the movie, but
it's a show.
Show. You know what I mean? Basket anyway. Full of Heads, really?
Yeah.
It's a movie.
Movie.
Are we gonna have to read it when it comes out? Dude. Oh, dude, I remember reading it and I was like, this is such a good title. The title to sauce ratio was way out of whack.
That's what's going to sell tickets, Nathan.
Yeah, true. Dude, I was fucking clickbaited on a title this week.
Which one's that?
It was like, I hope this is a demon or something.
Oh, it's the new
James Tynion one.
Oh, is it?
Let this one be a devil. And I'm like, that sounds great. I don't even like devils, you know?
Yeah.
And now I'm reading two devil books.
You bought it?
Yeah.
Did you read it?
Nah, well, you haven't picked it up for me yet.
Oh. I forget I do that.
Yeah. You're my Instacart for comics.
Mr. Terrific, year one, Nathan.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah, coming that May cool. 28th.
That was cool.
With
was cool.
A team. I don't know. But
I don't know either.
Mitch Gerrards, he did a variant. It looked really cool.
He's good at drawing, that guy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Got a lot of experience with Strange Adventures.
Yeah.
So I'll give it a shot. Was he always smart? I don't even know what that dude's about, really. I just know that he's smart and he's got the T-spheres.
That's basically it.
I know. But how did he get smart?
Born that way.
Books.
Books?
Some books, like a nerd.
Nathan, you like The Killer?
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah, well, The Killer comics.
What?
The Killer Affairs of the State 2.
So there's, okay. So
there's already a sequel run called Affairs of the State. Whoa. And this is Affairs of the State 2.
Bold.
Yeah, come in May 7th. That's Sarah's birthday.
So.
And it's killer time.
It's killer time.
Same creative team, like that.
Who is the
French dude?
It was okay, yeah, French dude. Okay, got it.
His name's like Mats or something. I don't know.
Just Mats.
Yeah.
Cool.
French guys, you know?
Yeah. Why do French people only have one name typically when they do comics?
There's not a lot of people.
Crom.
He's British. He's
European, you know?
Okay.
Nice. Did you ever read that comic, The Killer comic?
Nathan, I read The Killer in France, where it's based.
What a vibe.
The vibes were immaculate.
Did you buy it to take it to Europe to read it there?
I had it digitally.
Oh, okay.
It was out of print when I was looking at it.
Okay, that makes sense. Is it good?
It's very good. I like it a lot. The first trade is what I read, and that's very good.
Nice.
So I'm sure the rest is just as good, probably, maybe.
Is it black and white? You don't remember?
I think so. I got it. Where is it?
Oh. Wait, why did you automatically flip to the titty page? Did you have that one open for a while?
Just a bit of luck.
Okay, in my head, I thought it was like black and white for some reason, but pretty cool.
But yeah, no, that's colors. So let's get the book this week, Nathan. That we read this week. What did we read?
Daniel, we're scared that America is going to go into war. So
at some point.
So we're preparing by reading Brian K. Vaughan's We Stand on Guard that he did with an artist who I'm going to pull up his name.
Steve Scross. Matt Hollingsworth on colors.
Yeah, Matt Hollingsworth. And then...
Fonographics?
Fonographics.
Lettering and design.
Yeah. So pretty cool. This is the first week of our war month. We're studying a lot on war in case we have to go. So we know what to expect.
The book had like a spike in sales in recent times, you know.
Which is kind of crazy.
Probably because, you know, Saga is coming back out and so people are checking out other Brian K. Vaughan things.
Yeah.
No other reason.
Yeah, no other reason. No other political reasons or anything.
Yeah. What did you think, Nathan?
This is pretty cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like there's big robots.
Big robots.
I don't.
A couple.
It's like future war, which is always kind of fun.
Yeah.
And there's like torture and stuff that's going on in there.
Love
so
torture.
Like future torture, you know, so that's kind of crazy stuff. I don't think we're like far off from a lot of this, to be honest. I mean, obviously, we're not. I don't
giant
think
robots.
I don't think we're gonna do giant robots that look like gorillas. Although I do like that idea.
Spoilers.
And then there's like a ragtag team that you're kind of introduced to, and I think it's kind of hard to do that and make you care about them over the course of like what is this was 6 issues, right?
Yeah.
And also explain why the war is going on and stuff like that, because I don't really understand the war in this, like what it's over. It's like over water, I think, but like how did that start? And
yeah,
there's like things like that that I have questions on, but I think that's on purpose, because I don't think that's necessarily the point of like why the war started. It's just how it's impacting the people that are in it.
It's more about the story, not necessarily like the
geopolitical,
yeah, the climate.
Yeah,
so I think
it works for that reason.
The way it handled it is like it kind of sprinkled out some details throughout the issues, which I think is good, rather than just like an expo dump at the beginning.
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be a little bit like bigger scale.
Yeah, there's not a whole...
Because it's like this like rebel team and they're going after like
the entire
general guy. It's not all of the US. It's like a handful of guys, you know? So I was kind of more expecting like war.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But...
This is cool too.
Yeah, no, I...
War and snow seems like miserable, by the way.
War is hell, Nathan.
War is always hell. But when it's in the fucking snow, I would hate that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I like, is Brian K. Vaughan Canadian? I think he is, right?
He's from Ohio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I looked that up. I think some of the collaborators might be Canadian, but I'm not sure.
Some of the what?
Collaborators.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, let's jump into it. So it opens in Ottawa, 2112, when Amber and her family see the White House has been bombed on the news. Shortly after that, the whole city of Ottawa is being bombed by U.S. missiles, which kills Amber's parents, leaving Amber alone with her brother Tommy. And then jump forward into the war to 2124. Amber's an adult now and finds like this ragtag team of resistance members. And that team is called the 2-4. She ends up joining at. There's a huge, like, U.S. tank that attacks that the group takes down. And they have Amber kill the American that was piloting this big tank. And she does it, and she's now part of the 2-4. That's pretty much what happens.
Yeah, they had to prove, she had to prove that she wasn't, like, an American spy.
Yeah, because naturally you would think that if, like, you're...
Yeah, so when she kills the American driver with no hesitation, then...
Yeah.
She proved her stuff.
There's a guy named Booth that dies because they don't know that they figured that the big tank was like autonomously piloted.
Yeah.
Not like anybody in there. And so when they crack it open, there's a dude in there and he shoots this guy named Booth. And I liked him because he had a Superman tattoo and he's throwing out like fun facts about Superman. And he's like, did you know Superman's probably like, he's like more Canadian because the guy that made him, Joe Shuster, was Canadian. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what a fun little fact that Brian K. Vaughan's thrown at us.
Yeah. The truth, justice, in the American way. The last part was added.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I always feel like Brian K. Vaughan has been really good at like character introductions. Like his first issues are notoriously pretty cool. And especially when we find somebody like in the middle of their story, I tend to think that's cool. And so in this case, we see like Amber just kind of surviving in the snow, like the snowy forest on her own. She fights this dog that's like trying to talk to her and it speaks French. She's like, your French sucks. And then she shoots it. And I'm like, this is a cool character already, you know?
Yeah.
So I like that.
I'll give Brian K. Vaughan like a chance on like anything he does, you know?
Yeah.
He's deserved it.
He does. I like a lot of his stuff.
The bombings at the beginning were crazy.
Yeah. There was a lot.
There's like 20 of these like nukes or whatever that are just
all at once
attacking Ottawa, which is pretty crazy. And then like, her family's like looking at it from like a window and they're like, we got to get to the bunker. And just before you know it, like they're blasted.
Yeah. The dad or one of the members, I think it's the mom, gets like split in half pretty much. You see in the silhouette.
The dad's like ripped to shreds.
Yeah. It's brutal.
Dismembered.
And like, it's Amber seeing this as a kid. So obviously that would harden anybody.
Dude, like his face.
Yeah.
Is nuts.
Yeah. It is completely burnt. And fucked up.
I feel like Brian K. Vaughan always writes in like shock value when it comes to the violent parts of his books. or to where like it's almost like a page turn kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then the brutality of it is like also probably a important part, it feels like.
Yeah. I think he does it in a tasteful.
Saga heads are exploding and shit like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. Yeah, I think he does it in like a pretty tasteful way as well.
Yeah, like, I like it. It's like probably more
like he's not focusing on that for like multiple pages of this issue, but like when you see it, you're like, wow, that is crazy. And
yeah.
Then he kind of moves on.
And it's always got to be like kind of unexpected, mm-hmm. kind of like the dude getting shot in the neck.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like that page turn is really effective. So pretty cool. And then the mechs in this book are insane. Like they're super big looking and, you know, I like that the U.S. is characterized in that way because of our just crazy military industrial complex that we have as a nation. So
yeah,
like the mechs are just over the top ginormous. And it's like, they're so crazy that like I don't even know how to look at them most of the time. Like that's how big and crazy they are.
I'm like, where's the head at?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, what? And then you see it and it's like, is that supposed to be like a gorilla? Like it's got a gorilla shape and then they call it the gorilla, but it's spelled like guerrilla warfare. And I'm like, that's pretty good.
Right.
And then there's some cool future action. Like when they shoot, when the 2-4 resistance team is like taking down the mech, there's like a rocket that hits in the center and then it splits into multiple rockets that hit around it. And I'm like, that's cool.
And then they have this like explosive goo stuff that
yeah,
they
I didn't
put
really
on
know
it.
What that was. Some Elmers.
I feel like that's something that's in a game where it's like you spray it on like a certain part and then like that it's like C4 essentially.
Yeah, like a little goop.
Yeah, as soon as you like ignite it or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you mention like the robot dogs?
Yeah, there's like robot dogs. They're called Dogs of War. I like that name.
Could just been War Dogs, I guess.
That would also be a good name. Because how are you supposed to say multiple Dogs of War? Like, look at all those Dogs of Wars over there.
Doggies of War.
But that's something we're not too far from. Have you seen that? What's the college that makes the dog?
MIT?
No. Boston Dynamics. It's not a college. The Boston Dynamics, like, mechanical dog?
Mm.
That thing's crazy. So we're not far from that already.
They had robot dogs when we were kids. They're toys. You can get them on at any Toys R Us.
I know, but they can't, like, fucking jump around and go upstairs and scan shit with a camera.
Yeah.
So. So that we're not too far from. But anyway, issue 2, we see the early life of Amber and her brother Tommy on the run from Americans. And then in the present, or 2124, the 2-4 has a massive ATV bring in the American gorilla tank that they just took down to take it to their hideout.
In their Batmobile.
Yeah, pretty much the Batmobile.
From absolute Batman.
I can tell Scott Snyder is one of the ones that downloaded the We Stand on Guard. But yeah, this thing's ginormous. What even is that? You know? Did they have that already?
It looks like a dump truck kind of thing.
It is a, yeah, it's probably like this huge snowplow or something that was.
It's like one of those tanker things, like the harvesters from like Dune,
yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Just ginormous machinery. We meet like a U.S. officer that's interrogating a prisoner and then finds out about the missing U.S. soldier in Yellowknife, which is the one that was piloting the gorilla tank. And then Amber gets to the rebel base with everybody, and McFadden, who's the 2-4 leader, is caught by American troops while she's walking around outside doing a recon. And she gets shot up, but she's still alive, and the Americans take her in. So, again, another pretty cool sense of scale when we see the base is inside of a mountain.
Yeah.
And that thing's ginormous, because the huge gorilla tank is on top of the other ginormous ATV thing. And that's all fitting inside this mountain.
How'd they get that up there?
How did they get in there? Oh, yeah. How did they get that on top of the ATV? It's
maybe
absurd.
They got it to, like, sit down on top of it.
But I like seeing how small the people are. Just kind of, like, way, way, way down there.
Yeah.
And it's like, Jesus Christ. Like, how do they even find out about this mountain? This huge cave system?
There's a dude who's got, like, a robot arm.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fucking sick robot arm.
Yeah, it is cool.
Big fan. Like where, like, the plates look like muscles, you know?
Yeah. It's good design. And we see some ass this issue because Amber is taking a shower. So that's pretty cool. And then, so McFadden.
Oh, and then the robot arm dude, he's got a Kai Wolf.
Yeah. that's absurd.
Coyote / werewolf.
Yeah.
Or not werewolf.
Regular wolf. Coyote wolf.
Wolf. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not werewolf. Take the Kai and the wolf.
No, it's a dog. Let's be real.
Yeah, I'm like, if the Kai Wolf dies, bad book?
Oh my God, I was worried that the entire book, I was like, please.
They're dancing around that.
They are so close at a couple points, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, but spoilers, he doesn't die.
Yes.
Which is good. Brian K. Vaughn has some fucking class, at least. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Has he ever killed a dog? I don't think so.
If he kills Lion Cat, I'm going to burn every issue of Saga I have.
That's not a dog.
That's better.
Kill Lion Cat. I don't give a fuck.
Whenever he gets like fucking nicked, I'm like, or she gets nicked, I'm like, oh, what the fuck,
that dude? Issue when Lion Cat was like, like sucked out into space because there was like a hole in the ship that they were in. I was like, dude, no.
That's what I'm saying.
I had to keep reading. I couldn't stop.
You're never supposed to stop.
Yeah, that guy's.
But you did somehow.
I did. Well, they made me stop, and then I just haven't gone back on. But I know when I do get, but I know when I relapse, it'll be hard, you know?
Yeah. You're gonna fall hard.
I'm gonna fall hard, and I'm gonna read 20 issues at once in one day.
Oh, what a great day.
Because like that book is definitely best to binge, right? Like
1,000%.
Yeah, because you've been reading it like month to month, haven't you?
Kind of behind. Well, I've let them pile up. I'm caught up now, but like when you, if you wait even just like trade to trade,
yeah,
it's kind of jarring. Yeah. Like I'm like, where'd they go?
I think I have a good idea.
Like, did they kill that guy?
Yeah. I have a good idea of where we're at, where we stopped for episode 100. It was like issue 54. 54, yeah. So I have a pretty good idea. And then I haven't picked it up since then. And now we're on like 70-something, right?
71.
Yeah. So I'll be getting into that soon.
You haven't been buying it?
I've been buying it.
Oh.
Well, not since my store closed down. So I'm out like an issue, maybe.
Drew's got the backups.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
So there's this part where McFadden gets caught by like the U.S. like snow soldiers. Mm-hmm. And I think she tries to attack them so that they shoot her back so that they can't get any information out of her, which is a pretty badass move. But she does survive somehow and they take her in.
Yeah. And like the person that she like shot had, she had like a shotgun.
Yeah.
And shot a dude in the chest, but he's like fine, you know? So she like, I think she knew that she wasn't going to take anyone out.
Yeah, I think she has the kind of intel to like know that, you know, she's not going to kill anybody, but she needs to, you know, goad the Americans into shooting her so that they don't get any information out of her.
Yeah.
And you know, Americans, we can't not shoot somebody. So issue 3, Daniel, this U.S. officer lady, she doesn't have a name. They just call her ma'am.
They call her the American sometimes.
Well, the Canadians know her as the American, but they don't know her name. Mm-hmm. And everybody else just calls her ma'am. So mm-hmm. I was like trying really hard to figure out what her name is so I could write down the notes, but they don't ever call her anything. Which is frustrating for me. But
I'm so sorry you have to go through that.
Yeah. Issue 3, Daniel. In the flashback, Amber and Tommy are train hopping and just trying to head north or somewhere, and they find a man that's also train hopping, who tells them that most of southern Canada has been seized by the Americans, and he recommends that they run off to Greenland. The U.S. soldier, or the U.S. officer, interrogates McFadden, trying to get the 2-4 hideout location. She's, like, tortured inside of her mind.
VR torture.
It's like a VR torture thing, but McFadden thinks it's real, so she's being, like, burned alive and stuff. And she eventually gives up the location when the simulation that she's in would have her dead dad start to like abuse her in the simulation. She like immediately,
or like threatened to abuse her.
Yeah, threatened to like,
we don't see that,
do some disgusting stuff, and then she immediately buckles.
And yeah, then, dude, that I'm like, that's fucking some, that was Garth Ennis shit,
is,
dude. Like
that is Garth Ennis shit. Like I've never seen,
or like BKB. Mark Miller would do that too, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Some like
yeah, dude.
Some painfully like early 2000s kind of stuff.
When did this come out?
I don't know.
Mm.
Okay. And then the 2-4 team debate, you know, leaving, knowing that they might be compromised, but they ultimately decide to stay.
So I guess like America is like a dust bowl at this point, and yeah, that's why water is the resource that they're mm-hmm. fighting over.
Apparently they've already sucked out all the water from like Lake Michigan, I guess.
Damn.
And all of the like rich people have sort of grassy areas because they have access to water. But
so this is else. Coming out in 2015.
Yeah. I knew it was probably later than 2010. But yeah, so there's this like, this VR interrogation thing is kind of interesting because it's basically just little things hooked up to her brain to make her think that she's in a simulation. But how are they not able to like get information out of her brain, you know?
Maybe they're not able to
like, maybe they can like, put shit in.
The extract from like the hippocampus, you know, where her memories are.
But how is she able to talk to her? Because it's the She's just thinking those thoughts, I would assume.
Well, isn't like the frontal lobe like the one where all your languages and stuff like
that? Yeah, maybe, but put the little machine in there where the languages or wherever her thoughts are. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, memories are in the hippocampus, which is like in the middle.
Yeah.
So a little harder to get to, I guess.
But there's some way of like communication between this officer lady and McFadden. Mm-hmm. And so they're extracting some sort of information out of it, you know. So I just think it's interesting that.
Yeah.
I know this is just meant to be just future torture or whatever, like in her mind. Yeah. But I'm like, why not just get the information?
They got to keep it moving.
There's these like weird floating military bases or like flying military bases that are kind of silly. Like at the end, we see them. They're like big UFO looking things.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's funny. I don't know how big they're supposed to be, but they look pretty ginormous. So issue 4. So in flashback, Tommy gives himself up to the Americans so that Amber could have a chance to escape. And then in the present, the 2-4 is ambushed by hundreds of doggies of war. And there's even like aircrafts, like planes that are flying into this mountain. And so Kwabani took the chance to pilot the gorilla tank and fires it and causes the cave to collapse. The team gets away from the cave in the big ATV thing. And then outside, Dunn and his, what was it, Kai Wolf?
Was that Kai Wolf.
The Kai Wolf are taken hostage by Americans and are forcing 2-4 to surrender. But Amber wants to just fight them instead.
I'm like, they're losing people left and right, dude.
Yeah, they are. They're dropping like damn flies.
Yeah, I'm like, we have 2 more issues. There's 3 left.
And I really like the design of these like snow soldiers. I think they're pretty cool looking.
Very Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, dude, it really is. They just have like tons of cameras or something like on their helmets. So yeah, I guess a lot of lenses. See all around them. But I think snowsuits in general, I've always kind of enjoyed. Like I really like the Stormtrooper snowsuits.
Yeah. You
know, those are cool.
Can't go wrong.
Ones.
There's like a higher up in like the U.S. military who tells like our American, or it was the Secretary of Defense.
Yeah.
Who tells like our American lady to basically just wipe him out.
Yeah.
Like, don't take any prisoners or whatever because
kill them all.
They're trying to like control the narrative and they don't want them getting out into like the media or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they like get to the States, then they kind of start like a revolution kind of thing.
Yeah, resistance thing. Yeah, because he also mentions that there's struggles inside of the United States with like water distribution centers and there's like riots that are outside of there. And he mentions Phoenix. So
I imagine that'd be the first place.
Yeah, exactly. We basically have this problem now.
Yeah. So they meet in this like.
This grassy area.
A grassy area, but it's like surrounded by dead land or whatever. I don't even know if it's like real grass. Essentially, that could be all like hologram or something.
Right. Yeah. And again, I'm fascinated by this mountain hideout because there's flying shit inside of the mountain. There's like dozens of aircrafts that are in there. And I'm like, this place must be pretty fucking huge.
And then the lady in the gorilla is like just shooting like the ceiling and the walls to have like to big have rocks collapse. Come down and crash on the, cool. on the robots.
Yeah. So there's rock to spare.
Yeah. And I'm like, this thing is probably is just a few hits from collapsing altogether.
Probably.
You know? And so it's basically suicide.
Also, the gorilla tank has like a Godzilla laser breath thing.
Nice.
And I'm like, that's
pretty
cool.
It's got quite a few.
There's a couple
crazy
features.
Features.
It's got rockets, it's got lasers and crazy stuff. So pretty cool. I do like that she admits like these fucking people know how to make some war machines.
Yeah.
So issue 5. So the 2-4 leader McFadden is now doing like prison slave labor and she runs into Tommy, which is Amber's brother. And they find out that they have
like.
His ass
is going to come up.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still alive. He's just also a prisoner of war. And McFadden finds out that they have kind of ways of smuggling things in, like certain candies or whatever. So that's cool. And then at the base, the gorilla tank makes it out of the wreckage of the mountain and then lasers the American soldiers, which saves Dunn and his Kai Wolf. And then
it's like one of those like Iron Man lasers that like just like
the thing he used like once or in one movie.
Yeah,
I'm like, bring that shit back.
Cut off Thanos' head.
You know? Yeah, exactly. What happened to your laser? And so the 2-4 decide to make a stand at the lakes so that the U.S. military try not to risk like poisoning the lakes that they're fighting on, pretty much, because they need that water. And so Amber flies a U.S. plane into the airbase and then confronts the officer lady with a bomb strapped to her chest.
So like they're on, they weren't like just newt, because like I guess they're on
like a water arsenic reserve.
Or that too, yeah. And yeah. like that could like poison like the lake and stuff, so they'd yeah. be like fucked.
Yeah, which is interesting. So they know that they can't just like get overpowered or just bombed, because they need the stuff that they're fighting on. So
I guess
that's interesting.
One idea. Of the winter soldiers was like still alive, even though like his head was like sliced off.
Part of his brain. There's a chunk of that.
Exposed. Yeah. But his like, I guess his camera and his helmet was like still recording, so they got like a glimpse of what their plan was.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. But I was just glad
he was still talking too.
I was just glad that the dog didn't die.
Yep. The Kai Wolf.
Luckily the Kai Wolf didn't get lasered, nor did Dunn. So that was cool.
Yeah, and they went I kinda expected
like the lasers cutting through him was wild.
I expected a little bit of a delay with like the actual like them attacking those floating US bases or whatever.
Yeah.
But like 2 pages later, they're firing.
Yeah, they're ready.
They're using their own gorilla against them.
Yeah. And then, so Amber flies in with one of the members of the team. I don't even know his name, but he's wearing a Superman crest, but like with a Canadian flag in the middle. And then he gets immediately killed. And yeah. So I'm like, why does whoever's repping Superman stuff get killed like immediately after? Kind of funny.
Didn't Brian K. Vaughan do like some Big Two stuff?
Yeah.
Like, what did he do?
He did some Green Lantern.
Did he? Okay. Yeah. I remember seeing like an omnibus.
He's done. He did.
I think so, it was like Flash. Or
he did
like,
Batman.
For maybe a bit. It was Batman. What I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Because like I don't know, he's had such a weird career. Because like
for Marvel, he did like Runaways.
That's right.
And then the only thing I can think like, of off the top of my head for DC is like a Batman and then some Green Lantern, but that was like early career.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's the DC Universe by Brian K. Vaughan. I think that's just like random stuff.
Oh, that's what I saw, yeah.
Yeah, and that has like Kyle Rayner Green Lantern stuff in there, which I haven't read. And then Batman by Brian K. Vaughan. Ex Machina, if you can count that, I guess. Like Vertigo stuff.
Yeah, because his biggest stuff is like Saga, White Last Man, Paper Girls. I guess he did some Ultimate X-Men.
Some Swamp Thing.
Okay. Mystique. That's interesting.
That's cool.
Doctor Strange. So he's been around. I just like haven't read any of it.
Yeah.
I think he's maybe like one of the only writers where like I haven't read any
their
of
big two stuff. Yeah. That's true. Tom Strong.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because that's an Alan Moore thing.
Yeah. We should read Runaways. It's supposed to be good.
I've brought it up a couple times.
And I said no?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like me.
Issue 16. They even have a Runaways show. That we didn't like do a book for.
That was before we started this, though.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I remember. Dude, the guy from Penguin is in that. The kid.
Colin Farrell?
No.
Oh.
The Penguin's like sidekick.
All right, it's 2017, I believe you.
Yeah, see? I know what I'm talking about. Never trust me. Issue 6. Dunn, who gets kind of like lasered in half. Almost, or pretty much, he asks the French guy to take care of his dog while he's bleeding out. And then LePage somehow makes a transmission to, like, all of Canada. And he's telling them, like, we need to win this war or whatever.
I guess he's, like, a French or a Canadian, like...
Comedian.
And so that's, like, almost like the celebrity endorsement
yeah.
that the Americans are, like, afraid of.
Yeah.
That would start the revolution,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so he did actually get, like, a... transmission out.
It'd be like if Matthew McConaughey or
it's
something
like Kevin Hart is
yeah,
like
Kevin Hart makes a like an Instagram live and he's like I'm
you gotta do what he says
yeah pretty much. So he like makes he sends out a message to like all of Canada, except people's like fucking eyes start glowing green, so I don't know if people have like iPhones.
That's the
like,
Neuralink, Nathan.
Yeah, probably. And so then we jump to Amber and the officer lady. They talk about the sort of semantics of how the war started and stuff, which ends up being the Canadian people think that the Americans started it, but the American lady provides proof that a Canadian admitted to starting the bombing on the U.S., like that was recorded. And then the ship that they're on goes off balance and it rattles. There's a fight with Amber, who chooses to just blow up the ship rather than trying to survive. And this was all broadcasted to, you know, LePage's Instagram Live that he has. And so the U.S. pulls out of Canada.
His stream, or
his Twitch stream.
His Twitch stream subscribers.
Yeah. Imagine the chat.
The chat would go crazy.
The amount of Amazon Prime subs you get. And so, yeah, the U.S. can't control narrative anymore. They pull out of Canada, and it ends with a nice little flashback of Amber with her whole family kind of together again. And that's how it ends.
Which I guess is like a nice ending.
And she's just remembering what life used to be like before war, I guess. I don't really know why it ended like that, but it is kind of nice.
I expected a reunion.
Or maybe this is...
But that didn't happen. But well, I think...
No, her parents are dead.
But no, with her brother, though.
Oh, yeah.
But her brother knows like what she did, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So the Canadian president or whatever, he attacked the White House first because he was afraid of American invasion.
Yeah.
So.
Which is a good thing to be afraid of.
Which they probably would have invaded anyway. So he just kind of, it was.
He was trying to get the first strike.
Right.
To try and prevent as much death as possible. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is kind of like the thing where. The reason that it started doesn't really matter, it feels like, because it was bound to happen and there's nothing that we could really do to stop it kind of deal. I think that's the point that he's trying to make. It's like that there's just like these semantics and like countries don't really trust each other, especially not America.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's valid. But yeah. But what I don't understand is they say that they won this battle, but I think they blew up that ship and probably poisoned their water supply they were like trying to protect.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of shit that, like, fell in there, so I don't know if they really protected it.
It didn't seem like Canada's really winning.
Yeah,
you know, so like,
so maybe this is just like a they won the battle,
and that's kind of one scenario. Of the bases of like the 60 or whatever that they have in
of the 60,
like the 60 that like those bases.
Oh yeah,
that
yeah.
was blown up.
Oh yeah, that was just one of them.
That one was like number 63 or whatever.
But I guess they lost their big like U.S. officer lady. So maybe they were like,
sure, but how many of those are there?
But I'm pretty sure everybody else knew what they were supposed to be doing at that
point.
But
this also triggers like the revolution part.
But I think the reason they were there is because of the water and the explosion happened over. So I assume that water supply got poisoned. So they were just like, well, we don't have any point of being here. And they just left. So yeah, that's kind of the parts of it where I'm a little fuzzy on. But
this could have been like 12 issues. Where it like continues on some more stuff. Maybe.
Yeah, I think that could have been good.
And there could have been like spinoffs or anything. Yeah. But
I also think it's interesting how this is kind of one of those wars that have been going for so long that it seems like people don't really know how it started. Essentially.
Yeah.
I know a lot of that was like kept secret.
Because I think it's been going on for like 12 years at this point.
Which is a long time.
Yeah.
So, and then Daniel, the dog survived.
Yeah. The cow wolf.
The cow wolf survived. So.
That's all that matters.
It's at least not a bad book. So we'll get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
And it starts with some pencils for pretty much all the covers, which is cool. That like first cover is a pretty banger cover because it tells you a lot.
With the robot?
Yeah, with like the robot leg and then the Canadian flag. It seems like he was trying to debate like what kind of building would be all ravaged.
Yeah,
but it's pretty cool.
It starts with like a rough and then like after multiple renderings of it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I imagine, do you think designing these robots is difficult?
Yeah,
or well, like I assume it would be, but do you think he just kind of just fills in just like random stuff
and it's like squares and stuff?
Yeah
probably.
So
like because the details don't matter that much.
Yeah, because it's the future, like what we don't really know what it look like.
He's a good artist.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he had to draw a lot of like big scenes, like mm-hmm. tons of like that scene in the beginning with a bunch of missiles or the attack on the 2-4 base. There's like hundreds of those dogs running around. So pretty cool. And then we see some character sketches all throughout, which is cool. And that's pretty much it.
I guess Steve Skros, he did like some Gambit and some Cable.
Ooh, I'd love to see him on Cable.
He also did X-Man.
X-Man, one with Rob Liefeld? I thought he drew that.
Well, maybe the first run he did, but this run that starts in like 95.
Oh, okay.
Is the one that he did?
Yeah. I think Rob Liefeld did X-Man not so long ago.
Like the first one or more recently?
Like a more recent one.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, what would you rate this book, Daniel? What kind of gun would you give it?
Then I looked up some Canadian desserts. There's something called a Nanaimo bar, which I'm probably butchering the name of. And it's like this, like, N-A-N-A-I-M-O.
Yep. Don't know how to say that. Continue.
But it's like this, like, three-layer, like, little bar thing. Like, the base is like this, like, wafer almond, like, crust kind of thing. Then there's, like, a buttercream filling. And then there's a chocolate ganache top layer. And it looks pretty fucking good. I would try it.
Okay, nice.
So, something you'd find at a bakery, a Canadian bakery.
I'm going to do an American dessert.
Okay.
Two donuts. That's what I give this. That's a good meal. You know what I mean? It's like, I'll eat that.
What kind of donuts, Nathan?
My typical Bosa order is a maple bar and a chocolate sprinkle.
Or what are those, like, Texas ones? Like a Texas, actually, Texas donut?
A maple
or Texas
donut works perfectly. Maple donut. In Canada, and they do that.
Syrup. Do you like maple donuts?
Yeah, I love them. They're my favorite.
Hate maple donuts.
They're my favorite.
They're my
donut.
Least favorite. I
oh my
them.
God! They're your, why, you've never been so wrong about anything in your life.
No, I hate them.
Oh my God!
They have a smell.
They have a smell. I don't, no, they're good. What are you talking about?
I don't like.
They're so sweet.
I don't like syrup.
I don't really like syrup either, which is a weird thing.
I go for like a blueberry donut.
I like those too.
I think you start liking those when you get older.
I don't know why I like. Yeah, I don't really like.
I like an apple fritter.
I don't like maple bacon. Have you ever had that
donut?
No. Or, like,
oh,
I mean, I've tried the maple.
I like
bacon
a candied
donuts,
bacon, but I don't know if like maple is like the same one.
I don't know. It's barely maple, I'm sure, but that's just good to me.
I don't. They just go,
and it's a long donut. You
like,
know, so it feels like I'm eating more donut.
They have like circle maple.
I know they do, but I like the long one.
You like a Long John?
I like a Long John.
Like deep throat Long John.
If I need to,
if I'm in a rush.
Yeah. Easier to eat in the car.
One bite.
Have you seen that guy that does like the over unders of like eating things?
How many bites?
Yeah, dude. He'll have like a foot. Have you seen the foot long?
It's always the under, and it's impressive.
It's always like he had like the one I saw was like a foot long cookie.
Oh God!
From Subway, and it was like over under 1.5 bites. They did it in one, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, I love TikTok.
That dude's esophagus has to be like torn up.
He's just got a big, he's got big cheeks. I don't know. So you could fit a lot in there.
Insane.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
The only mukbang I watch.
But really good back matter.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. So let's go into the pull list. Colin,
shove in your box.
The pull list. The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Okay. Here's what I think I picked up this week.
Okay.
I don't know if I... Did Absolute Batman 5 come out?
Dude, that was last week.
Fuck me, dude.
Did you order it again?
I don't know. I think I took it out. But I tried to look at my fucking orders on Comic Hub, that site's a fucking disaster. I don't even know what I ordered.
You just can't handle it, Nathan.
I can't, dude. I'm not built for this online shit.
You're like...
Why did my comic shop close
near
me?
You're such a grandpa with tech.
Oh, no, dude. That tech fucking sucks.
I never have a problem
Hub? Fucking sucks.
It's not great. Did you try doing it on your computer?
I did.
Oh, wow.
It's terrible.
Well,
anyway,
do you have CLZ?
I used to. I don't have it anymore.
You should get it. Like, it's like essential. Like, they raised the price, and I'm like, it's still worth it. It's like $20 a year
like
now.
Like, catalog what you have?
Yeah.
$20 a year is not bad. I should do that. It takes so long to, like...
It takes, like, 5 minutes, maybe, if you have, like, a lot of shit.
But I have a lot of shit.
Well, just scan the weeklies.
Just what I get weekly?
So you don't reorder the same shit.
Okay.
You have a credit because you keep buying the same shit.
I don't even know how to use that credit, dude. I looked on both the Ash and the Comic Hub website. I don't know how to say credit. He just took money from me.
So next time, don't prepay. And then just I'll pay for it.
Okay.
And right. So he'll use the credit correctly.
Well, if I got off Super Batman, I don't know if I did. I can't remember. I didn't get a receipt.
Let me tell you what came out.
Okay.
So I'm going to get Ultimate Wolverine number 2.
Uh-huh.
That's number 1 right there. I think you should check it out.
Did you read it?
Yes.
Isn't that artist awesome?
Who is it?
Alessandro Capuccio.
Yeah. He's super dope.
He's on Moon Knight. It sucks that series sucks.
Yeah. I was like buying it, and then I was like, I'll just check it out. Give it a shot. And it's way better than I thought it'd be. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, way better. I had pretty low expectations for it.
Yeah.
Just because like Wolverine hasn't really been hitting for me lately, but.
Okay, cool.
We got New Gods number 3.
Yep.
We got Batman and Robin Year One, number 5.
Uh-huh.
We got Aliens versus Avengers 3.
Okay, yeah. I was scared that one came out last week as well.
Power Fantasy number 6. Are you going to get that?
No, I read 4 and 5.
Okay. Do you want 6?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm lost. I don't know what's happening.
You don't like it?
Not that I don't like it. I just don't know what's going on. It's too big for me.
Dang.
Too many characters.
Godzilla Heist, number
1? Yes, dude.
Yeah, dude.
And so the only additional one that I got, the only additional 2, is Let This One Be a Devil.
Oh, okay.
And then Zatanna, number 1, comes out.
Okay. And you just riding the high of the last Zatanna thing?
Literally, yes.
It's a different team, dude. I'm like,
if this even has...
That's like reading Mr. Miracle by Tom King and then going to the next Mr. Miracle thing.
I think that's fine. Maybe you just like the character. I don't know. I don't know. If this even has a fraction of the sauce that Zatanna Bring Down the House does, and it's Jamal Campbell. He's good.
It's about the sauce that
of the
made
team.
It good, you know?
It's the chefs.
Is it Dennis Camp on the first one? Or
no.
Who's the artist on the first one?
Of Zatanna? This Zatanna?
No, Bring Down the House.
It's always Rodriguez.
Javier Rodriguez?
Javier Rodriguez,
Is he on it again?
No.
Yeah, dude, sauce is lost.
Well, Jamal Campbell's good.
He's just the writer, though.
No, it's written and illustrated by Jamal Campbell.
Oh, that might be good.
Yeah, and he did Far Sector and Naomi.
Oh, right.
Remember Naomi?
I do. So, did you read anything?
Yeah.
What'd you read?
I was going to read 7.
Oh my God.
But
you owed me like 11.
I'm doing nothing
this
weekend.
How many did you read?
5.
Dude, you owe me 13, bro.
It can't be that much.
No, dude, you missed like 2 every week.
No.
No, because I just edited the episode. It said you owed 11 at that point.
Dude, I'm 13 deep in a comic debt. 13
in debt.
So I have to read 18 issues this week.
Well, no. You're 6 in debt.
Cool.
So on top of your normal 7, you got to read 6 more. So perfect time for 13 Saga.
Next week. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I could fucking smash through Saga.
Just smash Saga.
I'm actually doing nothing this weekend.
Perfect.
I had a crazy weekend.
Yeah.
I almost died on the freeway. Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah. That's scary.
Oh, my God.
Did you get your tire fixed?
Yeah.
How much is that?
Costco tire, baby. $130.
Ooh, I didn't go to fucking Costco.
I know, dude.
I keep going to...
That guy, I could have kissed that man.
Wow.
When he told me. Because I thought I was going to have to get 2 tires, but my car's like somewhat new. And so he was like, the tread's like within 2-3 seconds, which means you only need 1. And I'm like, let's go to the bathroom right now. Let's go to the back.
The family.
Dude, I was so excited. I thought I was going to have to drop like $500.
That seems crazy.
For tires, I don't know. Inflation, rubber.
I keep going to Discount Tire like a chump and paying like $200.
Discount Tire fucking sucks. That's what I realized.
Yeah.
The Costco tire. Whoever recommended that to me, thank you. I think it was Sophie's mom.
I guess they have batteries too, if you need a battery.
I need a new car jack because I bent it while I was fixing.
You did? The jack?
Yeah, the jack.
Wow.
Like because the cars are moving fucking 90 on the freeway.
Yeah.
And that's slow.
Yeah, you're just like, hurry.
And so like, it's like, and like the car's fucking moving. And so when I was like bringing it down, it fell as it was like coming down. And so the jack like went diagonally and just bent. And so, like, it's literally unusable now.
That blows.
Yeah. So, I've got to get one of those. Anyway, what did I read, Daniel? I'm so glad you asked. Power Fantasy 4 and 5. What the hell's going on?
Don't know.
Don't know. I forget the characters. That's probably just on me, though. I mean, I remember the main ones, like, Etienne or whatever. But I don't, like, it feels like nothing happened in these 2 issues. And it's just, like, a lot of talking. It's probably good, but it's definitely a trade read. I think.
Yeah, that'd probably help. The trade just came out.
Casper Wingard is incredible as an artist. He does like some really interesting things these 2 issues for sure. But, you know, story wise, I'm just a little bit lost. So I'm going to stop on that. I read Absolute Batman 3 and 4. I'm still pretty into it. I don't really know where it's going, really. But
yeah,
I liked the Gabriel Walta issue, actually.
Uh huh.
Definitely not. Nick Drugot is like the man for the job for sure. So I'd like to have him stay on there for as much as possible.
But. Yeah.
But I like him. I think it's cool. And then I read Plastic Man number 4, which is the last one, which I didn't know about.
Yeah.
And the way this book ends is so funny to me.
Okay.
are you gonna read it?
Yeah, I have it all.
You have it all? Okay. Well, this isn't like a spoiler, and this isn't the thing that I'm laughing about, but at the end, he's like literally in a bucket. And I'm like, that's kind of funny.
Nice.
So, but that's good, dude. Like, that... It ends a little bit confusing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it like explores the relationship with like his son and stuff like that, and him trying to like repair this broken relationship while he's dying, and what that means from like a family dynamic. And it's like, do you really love me, or are you just trying to like make yourself feel better for being a shitty dad and like shit like that? It's really good.
Yeah.
And the body horror stuff is, he just looks sloppy.
Yeah.
And I love that. So pretty cool.
Nice, nice.
And that was everything I read.
I read Ultimate Wolverine number one.
Yup.
They got me.
Oh, they got you. That's two Ultimate books you're reading?
Yeah.
X-Men and Wolverine? Mm-hmm. So just two X-Men books? I'd never thought I'd see the day I see Dayton on
I
two
know.
X-Men books and X-Factor. On one.
I dropped X-Factor, ooh, okay. But X-Factor is good. Yeah, I just like chose to cut it, you know?
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
I might read the trades.
Yeah. So who's the writer on this? Chris Condon?
Yeah.
Cool. I don't think I've read any of his stuff, but...
I don't think so either, but
I like
I've seen him on stuff. I read New Gods number 2.
Mm-hmm. I did order that.
You'll be really excited when you read that. It felt like a short issue.
I think the last one was big.
The last one might have been like 30, but yeah. This one is definitely like 20 pages.
Be excited. There's a Green Lantern?
No, but I think this is like a 12-issue series, and so altogether, I think it's like the right length.
Yeah.
You know, for a New Gods thing.
Yeah.
But
ongoing would be tough.
I guess like just the momentum, it just like worked for me to where like when it ended, I'm like, oh, it's over already.
Yeah. Cool.
I read Avengers versus Aliens number 2.
Okay, nice.
That might be like the best book out right now.
Dude, it's crazy, right? Because
it's so good.
It's bonkers.
It's amazing.
It's like so different than what I thought it was going to be too.
Asad Rubik is
unbelievable.
So goated. That man is a god.
Literally.
And he always has perfect colorists.
Yeah.
For him, you know, and
where everyone looks like a little bit blurry almost, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, he's so gas in
like,
everything he does.
Dom sent me like a Instagram, like post of just all Asad Rubik stuff. He's like, this guy's awesome. I'm like, he's on Alien versus Avengers right now. Yeah. I know he's awesome. You know,
do you want to fucking have your mind explode? Because he's on comics.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's awesome.
That comic has such potential to be so like cheesy and dumb and just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's just so sick.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
it's just
and
so
it's
raw.
Like, it's like serious, you know?
Yeah.
And so I like that a lot. And then I finished Shirtless Bear Fighter 2.
Oh, nice.
So 4 through 7. And dude, I was not ready for this book. It's incredible.
Really?
It's so good.
Oh, I wish I kept picking it up.
A Shirtless Bear Fighter fan would like love this. You know what I mean?
Oh, so you have
this
all the
is
issues?
Like, yeah, I have it all.
Okay. I might take it from you.
Yeah, I have them right there.
Okay.
Like,
maybe next week.
This is like the Back to the Future 2 of Shirtless Bear Fighter. You know how it's like sure, it's all the elements of the first one, but just more and just kind of insane.
Yeah.
You know?
That's cool.
I don't think there's gonna be another sequel because I think they use all their ideas in this one. Like
that's what we thought about the first one.
I don't know. I don't see where they could go after this.
Okay.
You know? And I'm like, this is everything.
That's so funny that you say that about a book called Shirtless Bear Fighter.
That it fucking rips. I want like a collection of like all of it because I think that'd be so sweet.
I'm gonna ask Ben right now if he read the first one yet.
Yeah. Dude, the back matter. I read like the digital trade.
Yeah.
And it had 20 variants in it, and they're all kick ass.
Wait, you read the original? Wait, what?
Say that again? So I read a digital trade.
Of Shirtless Bear Fighter 2?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
So it's like a lunch kind of book.
Yeah.
And it had 20 variants in it, which is like three an issue. It was just crazy. And they're all super good.
That's cool. Yeah. Like,
not a lot of people that I knew, but they're all like really good. I'm like, who is this? This is great.
Yeah.
So yeah, good stuff. Did you watch anything new?
I sure did. Hold on. I watched two movies.
Two movies.
One on Valentine's Day.
Ooh.
Which is called Man on Fire with Denzel Washington.
Oh, Sophie likes that movie.
Sophie loves that movie.
Yeah, apparently it's in her Letterboxd top 4.
Yeah. And it's such an interesting movie. It's not a movie that I would watch and think Sophie would fucking love this movie, you know? But it is good.
Yeah.
It's painfully, it's like, I was watching it, and I'm like, this movie feels like it was from 2004. And I looked it up, sure as shit.
2004.
Dude, half the movie looks like a music video.
Oh, cool.
Just like the way that.
It's like The Crow.
Yeah. It's apparently based on a true story, which I didn't know. And so I was watching it, and I'm like, this is a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then when I found out it's based on real, like a true story, I'm like, that's kind of badass then. So that's good context to know.
Yeah.
If you're going to go in and watch it. But Denzel's performance really good. And then there's that kid. I always forget her name. She was the one in Cat in the Hat.
Oh.
She's like a big child actor. I don't know what she does now. I'm going to look it up.
She was in Twilight.
She was?
Oh, no, don't tell me. Dakota Fanning?
Dakota Fanning, yes.
Yeah, nice.
She's great.
Is
I'm
she?
Like, what a good fucking actor. She's like 9 or something in this movie. And I'm like, there's so much emotion there, and their chemistry is really good.
She's in like a Netflix show last year, and then she was in
She's still 9 years
old. The Watchers.
She's a great actor. I don't know. I don't know how old she'd be now. I'm sure she's still a good actor. But yeah, this movie's fun. And it's like a little bit long, but it's definitely entertaining like all the way through.
Do you think it could be anyone's top four? Like, does it seem like a top four movie?
I wouldn't have pegged it as Sophie's top four. I think she just watched it at the right time.
Yeah,
where
that's
like,
important.
She probably watched it at a time where she was like, damn, movies are fucking crazy. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you ever have that moment where it's like, dude, this is a movie. You know what I mean? So there's like a twist, you know, in there that you don't expect. And it's cool. It's crime. It's, you know, gritty, grounded. And he's like, Denzel's character's dealing with alcoholism, like kind of through it. Until he finds this like kid that he's supposed to be bodyguard for, and he finds like a new, he's like fresh on life again, kind of throughout the relationship.
Uh-huh.
But when he's struggling with alcoholism, they make like the fastest, quickest edits you've ever seen in your life, because it's like just, I don't know, a really fast montage of him spiraling from alcoholism. And that's what looks like a music video, but it's too much. Like, it's too, I get overwhelmed, like just watching it. So we were watching it, and I was like, Jesus Christ, what am I supposed to be like watching right now? So
yeah,
it's kind
of funny.
Yeah,
I have that to my list, since you talked so highly of it.
Yeah, it's worth the watch for sure. I think I rated it 4 stars.
Wow.
And then I watched Captain America.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
Brave New World.
So we can talk about that in a little bit if you want.
Okay.
Tell me what you watched.
I watched a movie called The Order. It's got...
Okay.
It's got Jude Law and Nicholas Holt. It came out last year.
Good actors.
Good actors.
Good movie?
Great movie. I loved it. I thought it was like, it's like right up my alley, you know? Mm-hmm. I think I just kind of like, it's like Jude Law is like a FBI agent, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's investigating this like neo-Nazi group who is like doing heists.
Yeah.
So it's like an action thriller. And they're like using the money that they earn to like buy guns and like plan like a revolution kind of thing. It's like super tense, and I don't know. And it's like based in like the 80s. It's based on like a true story.
Yeah.
And so I just thought it was like super fucking interesting. And just like the trailer, I'm like, oh, I know this is kick ass.
Cool.
Kind of an unlikely creative team. So it's the director of Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
And the writer from 2024's The Crow. So
two bangers.
Yeah. So like, I guess when they had this like thing to adapt, that they just knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
So yeah, just like
if it's the a vibes fresh are, like, idea, I guess.
The vibes are kind of like neo-Western, like noir kind of thing. And it's super good. I liked it a lot.
Cool.
I don't know if I would add it to like the list for you to watch, but it is like a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we watched Captain America.
Captain America.
All right. Good job watching it.
Did you watch this on Valentine's Day?
I watched it on Valentine's Day.
What a shit movie, dude.
I think it was really close to being good.
It was not.
I think it was pretty close.
Oh my God.
The trailer made it look awesome.
I was excited for this movie based off the trailer.
Yeah.
And then I heard it was bad, and so I like tempered my expectations, and it fell way below that.
Really?
Way below that.
That's something.
God, I was like, I think it sucks because this could have been good, I think.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Because, like, I think Anthony Mackie could be a good Captain America, but they're not giving him anything good to work with, it feels like.
Yeah, not a great plot. Not a lot of great, like...
The plot's...
Hand-to-hand combat stuff.
Yeah, the combat is clunky. The plot is messy.
Like, why is he struggling fighting this guy, but he can take down the Hulk?
Right, or, like, there's five guys with, like, electric sticks.
Burger and fries.
He's eating five guys and he can't handle it. not like Chris Evans could.
Yeah.
No, there's like five guys that he's trying to fight with the Falcon and they're struggling and all they have are like little like electric sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is supposed to be Captain America. Like, dude, take the super serum.
I don't know if are it's like that me? Available, is it?
It could be. I think he seems disappointed that he didn't take the serum when he had the chance, but I'm sure.
I thought it was more like he can't get it because.
If that's. I don't know. I they don't even make that clear. But find a way to get it, dude. Because there's four people in this movie that have superheroes.
I guess if U.S. Agent has it, then...
U.S. Agent has it?
They could.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Isaiah Bradley had it. Winter Soldier has it. There's four people in this movie.
Does Red Guardian have it?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. But maybe, I think it was like maybe a Russian version of it. But
I thought the Vibranium Wings was cool.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. But
I'm like, that's a good idea.
But I'm saying, like, you should have taken it. There's no... common side effects, and you live longer, you're stronger.
So, but like, there's no need in a way because he's got vibranium wings. He's got an.
I understand.
He's got the vibranium shield, you know, and he's got like.
But there's no reason
wing.
Not to take it.
I guess so. I'm sure there's got to be
so
like a downfall to it.
But let's say it's not available. That's fine. Then he can.
But like him having it wouldn't make this a better movie, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What makes
this a bad movie is that there's the plot's really messy and the pacing is all over the place.
They're coming back to some of your favorite Marvel titles, Nathan.
Incredible Hulk.
Incredible Hulk. Falcon Winter Soldier.
Eternals. It's a sequel to all those somehow.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is that there's a big Celestial.
Yes.
That's been there for years.
At this point, yeah.
And now everybody's going to try and get the adamantium off of it?
They didn't know.
But, like, they were mining
spoilers,
it.
I guess.
Yeah, spoilers. But they were mining it before this, I think. Because in Harrison Ford's or Ross's presentation, they said they, like, split up part of it.
Everyone like, was kind of mining it,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, and so I'm like, why is there now a big rush for it? That was a little dumb. I like seeing the Celestial, though, because that thing freaks me out, and it makes me excited to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like the hand's ginormous, the head's ginormous, and it's like that would, if that happened in real life, I'm putting a gun in my mouth.
when me and Sarah watching it, I realized that we didn't watch Eternals, we didn't watch Incredible Hulk, so she's like, "What the fuck is that?" I'm like, "Oh, it's from a thing. It was a guy, is a giant coming out of the earth."
Yeah, but they stopped it. Earth was like an egg.
Yeah, and so I'm like, "We got some homework to do."
Yeah,
there's like a Bucky cameo.
That was they definitely paused for the Bucky cameo in my theater and it was just silent.
This was yeah,
but it was like, yep, there he is.
I was like, dang, he's in a lot of stuff. He's busy,
dude. The only person that Anthony Mackie has good chemistry with, it feels like, is Bucky. But that's because they've had multiple movies to like figure out
and
that there's
show.
A dynamic there and a show. Yeah, but like, I don't give a shit about him with anybody else, even Joaquin Torres. I think he's actually kind of annoying in this. I think he's a good actor, but God, he's not funny. And he's just tech guy that just generic tech guy that's good at tech everything.
Yeah, man behind the desk or whatever.
They enter a lab where the leader is. The leader's stupid in this, by the way. He's supposed to be really smart. He's dumb.
I think if they have to use him, this is like the best they could do kind of thing.
No, he talks stupid. I hate hearing him talk. He talks in this like holier than thou sort of way. But in a way that is just dumb. But anyway, they like are trying to figure out who's behind all this and they go into the lab. Remember? And then there's like the door opens up. But like they could just close the door on both of them and they couldn't get out. You know what I mean? The door does close behind them. But then when leader leaves, he opens the door again, but he doesn't close it again. And so while they're fighting those five guys with electric sticks, he could have just locked them in there and they're none of them have super soldier
serum.
Well,
the door closed because I remember Joaquin, like he reaches in and touches the button or whatever.
Yeah,
like it's not like a cell really for anybody.
Also, if those are all guards that are supposed to be protecting this lab, why don't they have guns?
Yeah, it's like a prison or kind of.
Yeah, they should have guns. That's what I'm trying to say. That's crazy. But the leader has a bad plan, I think, and then he turns himself in Like, Captain America doesn't even take him down or find him or catch him off guard or outsmarts him or anything.
Well,
the leader just shows up.
Like, he's not as smart as the leader. And he wasn't planning on giving himself up because he had a hood on. You know, no one could see him. He's screwing incognito, yeah.
Yeah.
But they definitely wasted Giancarlo Esposito in this.
Totally.
I'm like, he could have been like a dozen way better villains.
Yeah, he's part of the Serpent Society. That's what you give Giancarlo Esposito?
Yeah, they should have just gave him like a name and not like this superhero named Sidewinder.
That's a sick name.
Sidewinder can like teleport. Mm. And they didn't do anything like
that. Didn't do that.
He doesn't look like he's the Serpent Society. Yeah.
Guy with a gun and some shades.
Yeah. So
ridiculous.
That was a bummer.
Action was not very good for me.
I like the aviation stuff. Like when they're flying around.
Yeah, some of that's good.
I thought that was cool.
I think the dialogue during all that is really bad.
There's a lot of bad dialogue, yeah.
There's a lot of bad dialogue. So it's unfortunate. Harrison Ford is good, I think. I just like seeing him do stuff.
Yeah, I love Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
I think this movie gets like a extra half star just for having the Red Hulk, just conceptually.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't like the CGI on it. I'm like, I thought it looked pretty good.
He looks okay. I think. I don't know. I thought it was going to be like scary. Because they were really good with like scary Hulk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In like the original movie and Avengers.
Yeah.
This feels like angry Hulk, but not necessarily like in a scary way. He's just kind of jumping around. And
I was just thinking about all the damage that's being done to the White House.
There's a lot of damage done to the White House, which is cool. I do like that. But I didn't feel like intimidated by him, I guess, in that way. Like, I know that he's strong and stuff, but I don't know. Something about it was a little bit off.
He didn't seem like he was going to win. Like,
yeah.
The Falcon didn't seem like he had a chance, really.
Yeah, exactly. And what pisses me off about that is that he does eventually talk him down, but he tries initially to talk him down. It doesn't work. And then he just tries again, like, a couple minutes later, and then it does work.
With the same concept or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
He needs to be beaten down a little bit. He had to get his health down.
I guess so. Before he could capture him like a Pokemon. Like,
yeah.
What the hell? So I think that's a little bit silly.
Everyone I was with thought like when it went back to Harrison Ford and he's like shirtless, it was like a jump scare. I'm like, he doesn't look that bad for like 80.
For 80, yeah, he's not bad. You know, he's still walking around doing stuff.
Yeah.
The person I did like the most in this movie is Isaiah Bradley.
Yeah, he's awesome. I liked him in the show too.
Great actor.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was like, damn, it feels like he's really just destroyed about having to like go back into prison, potentially go back into like solitary confinement. He feels like a very like weathered sort of person.
Mm-hmm.
And even when he's like being funny, I thought he was like pretty funny too. So I'm like, this guy's got some range as an actor. So
it's
pretty cool. So he's the only person I really liked. What'd you think about the Red Room girl that works for Ross?
It didn't quite work for me.
Yeah.
I was like rolling with it. But it was just like odd. I think like the two women that were like serving like the president probably could have been like one character, you know, like Sam Wilson's like
friend
and then also protecting like, president.
Are we supposed to know who that is?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't think they're like heroes necessarily.
Yeah.
But just like when it comes down to like those characters that are in the administration or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like Maria Hill is as far as I go.
Yeah, know? Pretty much. Yeah.
As far as like what I know. But yeah, it was just whatever.
This is the bottom three for me.
Bottom three.
I don't know if it's like the worst. I don't know what would be.
I don't know about the worst. I think there's enough like things.
It's just not interesting and it loses me and it doesn't bring me back in with anything, it feels like. So I don't know.
I kind of, a part of me likes them wrapping up like the loose threads of
Hulk stuff,
of just all kinds of stuff. Like people were bitching about the Celestial for like years.
Yeah, true.
Yes, they just get to it just now, but like
at least
there has to be like a plot for it to make sense.
Yeah, like it would make sense that there's a sort of geopolitical,
right. And what better movie to put that in? But there's also things that delay movies, like strikes and stuff.
Yeah.
And budget or whatever the case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
When you look back and you look at all the, like, the after credit scenes and stuff like that, or all these things that they're like setting up, like that list of loose threads just gets smaller, you know, like
two or three. Yeah.
So
at least that happens.
I don't know. I knew, I had a feeling that it wasn't going to be the best movie, you know?
Yeah.
So I just was just there because a part of me feels like I have to, you know?
Yeah. I feel bad for that military dude that was trying to help out Sam, and then he just like gets killed by the leader.
Yeah, he was cool. I like yeah. him.
I'm like, well, that guy just died for no reason.
But think about like any other franchise and what the 35th movie would be. This is pretty good for a 35th sequel, you know?
I don't think there is any other
like
example.
The 35th Star Wars movie isn't touching this.
It's going to be a banger. Okay. Where are we at now? Like 10? 11?
There's 9 and nine then the 2 in the middle.
Rogue One and
Solo.
Yeah, so 11.
So we're on our way.
Just 3 times more Star Wars, and then we'll be able to compare.
Yeah.
God,
we'll have this conversation again.
Yeah.
When we're on episode 1,000.
Yeah, exactly. Someone remind us.
Yeah, once Disney gets back to like a Star Wars movie like every other Christmas, then we're locked in.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just disappointed by this. I think Sam Wilson will be a cool Captain America.
Did you see what the...
They just didn't give much.
Yeah, I like Falcon as a Captain America. And I like Anthony Mackie. I kind of always have.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, me too. I think he has the ability to be that like stoic person, but then be sort of more goofy and social than I think the Steve Rogers one was. But
he plays serious pretty good, you know?
Yeah. I think Chris Evans did as well. But I think what they nailed with the Chris Evans one, which probably just took a couple movies to figure out his character a little bit, but he was always like supposed to be like pretty serious, and then when he didn't know things about like modern culture or whatever, you know, that was like kind of a funny like cute thing that, you know, Captain America had, and he's like, he doesn't understand how all this shit works, you know.
He always had a pretty clear scope of like good and bad, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, not a great after credit scene either.
Yeah, what the fuck.
He's like, they're coming. I'm like, oh, give me something else.
People from other worlds.
It could be anyone else.
It's just nothing. They just had to do something, it feels like. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and there's no, like, mid-credit scene. Is the end credit.
Make it at the fuck... Dude, I was...
Let me get out of there.
I was debating just looking it up. I did not want to be in that theater.
You might anymore. As well have. Like,
yeah, I'm disappointed that I stayed.
Reading it is, like, the same as watching it.
Totally. You know? Yeah, nothing happens. The acting's not good in that scene either. Fuck, I hate the leader. Oh, my God.
No, we'll never see him again, probably.
Yeah, I hope not.
Who's that actor?
I don't know.
I know him.
He was good in Incredible Hulk, from what I remember.
Hold on.
They didn't even call him the leader in this.
No. I'm glad they didn't. That'd have been done. It would have been dumb.
Yeah, this movie's dumb enough.
Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah, I liked him in the first Hulk. I don't know what else he's been in, though.
He's in Watchmen, the TV show.
Wasn't it also him in The Dark Knight, in the bank? Was that him?
In the bank,
he's like a bank teller dude that he had like a shotgun or a gun.
I don't think so.
Is it not him?
But yeah. He was Looking Glass in Watchmen.
The show?
Yeah, the show. The one who had like the silver mask.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, he was badass in that.
I need to rewatch that show, dude.
He was in The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Oh, yeah.
He's
great in that. Isn't he Buster Scruggs?
Yeah, he's Buster Scruggs.
Oh, fuck yeah. I like that. And that show's bizarre.
Then he was in, like, the first episode of that, like, Cabinet of Curiosities, the Guillermo del Toro thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that episode.
So he's got some good stuff. So this is not his strongest thing.
Definitely not. Yeah, he's a good actor.
What are we gonna read next week?
Anyway, Nathan, what are we gonna read next week?
We got more war comics, week 2.
Yeah.
What do we got lined up? What, Punisher?
Punisher Platoon.
Punisher Platoon with Garth Ennis.
Garth Ennis and some other guy.
That sounds good.
Who's the artist on that? Let me look.
It's not not Dylan, is it?
No.
I think we figured that out last week.
Goran Parlov.
Oh, yeah. That guy's good.
Is he?
Yeah.
What's he on?
I follow him on Twitter. He's good.
He's done some normal Punisher stuff. Did some Fury stuff. I guess he did some Why Last Man. He was the artist on Starlight, the Mark Miller book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Marvel Universe versus Punisher. So lots of Punishers. He's like one of the guys.
He's a Punisher guy, for sure.
For sure. Okay.
So I'm excited for that.
Ooh, coo, coo. Sounds good. The war carries on.
Yes, it does. War never changes.
Yeah, so this is what? Vietnam, and then Babylon would be like Iraq War.
We're hitting all the things.
The main ones. We don't have like a World War II book.
Isn't that the other side? Or is that Vietnam?
I think that's Nam.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, so,
anyway.
War's the same.
It might be cool if, in like war month, we like hit different wars, I guess.
I don't know.
I'm sure there's a Nazi book out there somewhere that.
Yeah, probably.
Can't go wrong. All right. But thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. I got a link trees in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe.
Tell us your favorite war.
What's your favorite war?
Or war comic.
War comic, even better.
Yeah.
TrevorSpot@gmail.com. And goodbye.
Bye.